columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
Tyler, we got a little controversy with Michael Jordan. We remember the producer of The Last Dance saying this.
Well, earlier that night, those guys all ate dinner and didn't wait for Michael when they ordered. So it gets to be about 10, 11 o'clock, and Michael is starving and says, I want a pizza or get me something. When the pizza shows up, Michael says, everybody, do not touch this pizza. This is mine. You didn't wait for me. Don't touch this. So he spits on the pizza.
What? My 7-year-old son, this is exclusive right here. Hold on.
Now, that was not included in the documentary, Tyler. That was a story. I wish it was, but it wasn't. So, a radio show in Salt Lake City has on Craig Fite, F-I-T-E, who is an assistant manager of a Pizza Hut in Park City. Now, why he made it all the way up to assistant to the assistant manager in 20 years is congratulations to Craig.
You're such a terrible human being.
But says he remembers this because he was one of the people that brought the pizza to Jordan's room. This means he's been working at the same Pizza Hut.
Oh, my gosh.
Since 1998.
Well, good for him. You know what? He's obviously a fantastic employee that never has missed a day of work, and they never had a reason to fire him.
And manager made, keep going. Quote, the crap story.
Maybe another 20 years, but.
Yeah, just give it some time. The crap story, that guy said there was 5 people. There were 2 of us. And I didn't even have that many people working at the time at the store. But there was 2 of us. I followed all the rules. I was trying to impress the store manager there. Well, of course. How else are you going to become assistant 20 years later? I remember saying this. I will make the pizza because I don't want any of you doing it. And then I told the driver, you're going to take me there. He claims he didn't tinker with it. It was a thin crust pepperoni pizza. It's tough to get food poisoning off a pizza unless you add something to it, but that didn't happen because as sure as heck it didn't leave my hands. Okay, Tyler. And I saw somebody with a hot take on Twitter about this. Was Michael Jordan faking the whole thing, or did he have food poisoning of some kind, but it had nothing to do with the pizza? It had to do with something he didn't want to make public.
Boy, you won't give me credit for anything. Go back and read my timeline. That's exactly what I said. I guarantee you Michael Jordan faked the food poisoning.
What part do you think he faked? What do you think
I'm sure he got a little bit sick. I'm sure he had something going on, whether he was dehydrated, whether he partied too hard, whether he legitimately was sick. I'm sure there was something. But, man, just the way that he played that thing up, every chance he could get to put a towel over his head, show everybody how miserable he is. The part that really did it for me, that I was like, holy cow, is he embellishing this? When he goes out there and he just has a fantastic final 5 minutes to finish out the game, he's clutch. He's literally hitting game winners. And the second the game's over, Scottie Pippen comes over to him. Michael jumps up, gives him a big hug, and then he, collapses into his arms, and he's like, this court. I can't do this right now.
So here's my hot take on this, similar to what you're saying. He was drinking.
Probably.
And they admit they were drinking. And why do you think they had to have the pizza delivered instead of one of them going to get it? They were hammered. And he was hungover. And yeah, that's going to make you sick. And yeah, Tyler, that's going to make you miss the shoot around. And once he missed the shoot around, Tyler,
he had to have a reason, right?
That you can't use I'm hungover.
Right.
I was wasted last night. So as soon as that happened, dude, it was Hollywood acting time from that moment forward. He probably was fine during the game. Fine. He was probably hungover during the shoot-around at 10 o'clock in the morning.
You know, gosh, what game was it? I think it was just a game or two before that where he's at the shoot-around and he's talking to the camera and they're asking him what he did that day. And he said, oh, I had a couple beers, smoked a cigar.
Right.
What?
Right. You think he was joking or serious?
I don't think he was joking.
Right.
I really do not think he was joking. Why would you joke about that?
Did you notice he was...
On game day.
How much smoking cigars does this guy do, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that MJ loves his cigars. He's been that way forever.
Yeah, and guess what goes with cigars,
y'all? I can't believe the way they were just smoking cigars, like, in the locker room after every single game. You know, he had one cigar. I don't think it was lit, but he had a cigar in the plane. I actually rewound it because I was trying to figure out if it was lit. You want to know why? There was actually an ashtray in front of him.
Right, so, a big one.
I don't think it was lit, but why the heck was there an ashtray there?
Because it was about to be lit.
Yeah, right?
Talk about a phony baloney moment, man. I love that this guy came out and said that whole story is crap. Because it is crap. And that's a good one, man. Now, that's an interesting documentary. That would be interesting. Ray and Kevin.
Adam Sheen of NFL.com came out with 9 teams that were poised to become the next great dynasty.
Nice.
Well, first off, hold on. We have 9 teams that are poised to become the next great dynasty? that's a lot of teams, D-Mac.
Yes.
All right. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs are on this list. They're number one. There is, however, another AFC West team that has cracked this list. Do you care to predict who it is?
The Denver Broncos.
Do you legitimately believe that?
No. Do you think that's
the team that's on the list?
I got him in the, I don't know, the list. I got him in the AFC Championship game in 2 years. So, no, probably not. Everybody nationally is crapping all over the Broncos or is not really considering them.
Okay, so next up, if it's not the Broncos, you only got 2 teams left.
It'd be the Raiders, I guess.
It's the Chargers. The Chargers that he's got at number 7. So
why?
Here's what he says. GM Tom Telesco has loaded the bolts with talent across the roster, and Anthony Lynn can coach. So what's the problem here? Most will point to the quarterback position where Phillip Rivers has just left the building after 14 seasons in the starting lineup. Tyrod Taylor will get the first opportunity to fill Rivers' shoes, but the long-term play is number 6 overall pick, Justin Herbert. Do you believe in the Oregon product? I sure do. I love 6'6". He goes on. It's all about his belief in Justin Herbert. Man, I cannot believe that the Chargers are on this list as the next great dynasty. I don't understand where that this one's coming from.
I think it's a stupid list. I have no
so
faith
stupid.
In Herbert at all. I think he's going to be... I'll be shocked if he's a great quarterback. I really will.
You want the other teams just out of curiosity? It won't take long here.
Sure.
So number 1, you got the Chiefs. Number 2, the Ravens. All right, fair. Number 3, you got the 49ers, fair. So we got fair, first 3. Cowboys are at number 4. All right, I guess that was a matter of opinion, but they definitely have got a ridiculously talented roster. Then Eagles at 5. Buffalo Bills, your man, Josh Allen, is at number 6.
Yeah.
I also do not see that one. I don't quite understand that. Do you think they're ready to be a dynasty?
I think they're going to be 12-4 and win the AFC East. Dynasty? I don't know. I mean, who's the quarterback for the Patriots? Do you believe in Sam Darnold? Are the Dolphins going to be really okay with Tua? I don't know.
This list is just stupid. I don't know why you use the word dynasty. That's just ridiculous. But then you got the Chargers, you got the Titans, and finally you got the Cleveland Browns. What a terrible list. Holy cow.
Boy, the Browns are... You know, I could see something with the Browns.
Let it go.
Well, you're going to... Let me say what I was going to say.
No, I'm going to keep interrupting.
If Baker Mayfield doesn't work out, they've got so much talent on that team right now. I actually could see them dumping Baker Mayfield for a veteran quarterback.
So Case Keenum's going to leave the dynasty?
Not Case Keenum, but give me somebody else. Give me another vet that might... I could see them doing a deal to get Russell Wilson in there.
Cam Newton?
For 4 or 5 years. Cam Newton, no. What about a deal for Russell Wilson?
Well, they've... apparently, they already were in conversations for that deal. It would appear the Browns were the ones that didn't want to go through with it, by the way. The Seahawks were willing to trade Russell Wilson for the number 1 overall pick.
Yeah, keep your eyes on that. All right, ring it, Kevin. Hi, Tyler. They are dumping the or tabling the minority incentive thing. Do you think it will come back, or do you think that one's a dead dog?
No, I think that one's a dead dog, man.
Yeah.
They might find some way to incentivize teams to some degree, but when Tony Dungy is out there telling you that this thing's got major problems, you've got minority head coaches and certainly a man that represents a very solid moral compass of the NFL and Tony Dungy. When he doesn't even support it, the thing just, it didn't make sense. It was out of whack.
All right, bring in Kevin. Bang, bang.
Bang?
Bang, bang.
There, ah. What was that? Was that? Thank you. Thank you. NFL is testing new protective face masks with surgical N95 material on it. Okay, not quite sure what to make of this. Not quite sure how this would even work. Could this potentially allow players to practice and play the season without further delay, D-Mac?
You know, Tyler, I just thought the NFL would be great if all you guys looked like Hannibal Lecter out there. Awesome. Why stop there? You know, why not, you know, get, you know, like straight jackets on and just cover everything? Sure, why not? Wrap you guys up like a mummy.
That just sounds dumb to me. You're telling me we could be out there, like, exchanging bodily fluids. You've got open wounds. You've got sweat going all over the place. And you think a little mask in front of the face mask, which, by the way, has got a gigantic hole at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't get it.
There's no way to cover it. This isn't going to happen.
I don't think so either. It sounds silly. I mean, what we talked about that does make sense is automatic day off or virtual day Monday. Day off on Tuesday. Test on Wednesday morning so you can practice Wednesday. Test again Saturday. Test Sunday morning.
I like it.
If you're doing that kind of protocol.
It's a lot of testing. I mean, I hope they've got the availability for it.
But. Well, that's right. I mean, I don't know what else to say. But to me, you don't need a. If you're doing that kind of testing, you don't need the mask because nobody. I mean, you're going to know, I would think. I don't know. What the hell do I know? Ring it, Kevin.
Not much. I'll tell you that much.
Right. Should or what do you expect NFL quarterbacks will now do that we see the news story with Tom Brady really holding a virtual offensive practice with including backup quarterbacks, by the way, doing red zone drills. To the surprise of the high school varsity football coach, but nevertheless it happened. What kind of ripple effect do you think that will have on the rest of the NFL?
Well, I think guys were doing it already. We got the report yesterday about Drew Locke is orchestrating some sort of events that are similar in nature. But when you see a guy like Tom Brady out there doing it, of course, every QB in the league is going to feel the pressure now.
Right.
I don't think that Tom Brady was doing anything morally wrong with this, but I would agree with you that this is going to be the ramp-up that everybody needed. They needed that okay. They needed to see somebody else doing it, and now they're going to want to do that for their team as well because they're going to feel like, well, their coaches and even their players, the wide receivers, well, they're probably going to be judging me if I don't put together something like this. You know, D-Mac, Peyton Manning was playing the NFL right now. I guarantee you he would have been right there with Tom Brady. he might have done it before him.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think this will catch on with other position groups? That the other position groups will get together similar to this?
No, it's just not that easy. Other positional groups, man, you really need like a very structured environment in which you've got the entire team there. You could do DBs versus wide receivers. You could do 7-on-7 type of drills. So maybe you'll see some of that, but that's going to be dependent on what the local governing bodies are telling you is okay and what is not okay. Can you have more than 10 people at this practice? You know, can you congregate with 50 players? Offensive line, defensive line. It just doesn't work like that. You can't go into an environment and practice away from the building and get a ton of really good work in like it.
You don't think the Dungeon family will be getting together at 4:30 in the morning with Matt's, you know, excoriating people for not showing up on time? You don't think that's
going to
happen?
Maybe.
All right, ring it, Kevin.
All right, let's get one final Michael Jordan topic in here
with
The Last Dance.
Love it. The what? I'm sorry. Oh, The Last Dance.
Yeah.
I thought you said lap dance for a second. All right, go ahead.
Gosh,
the last dance.
Man, you are on fire today.
Well, you were talking about people's packages. Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Do we have anybody on any Denver professional sports team?
Oh, that's a good topic.
That represents the Michael Jordan killer instinct.
That is such a good topic. I tell you what. Ring it, Kevin, and wrap it up, and we can dig into this more. So ring it. Go ahead. Wrap it up. But I want to talk about it. Because our good friend James Merrillat wrote about it. I heard the guys in the morning talk about it. And I just think it needs a little bit more time. So, great question.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that a lot.
Who on what team has the same type of killer instinct that Michael Jordan has? You want to start with the Broncos?
Sure. Now, just to clarify things, are we strictly talking about the mindset? Does it matter if they are physically capable of doing this anymore?
Yes, I think it does matter. And okay. I think this is pointless if they can't back it up. I don't think anybody would take him seriously.
Okay, you know, even when so Jordan on was, the Broncos.
When Jordan was in his 40s playing for the Wizards, until he got hurt, unfortunately, he was killing it. He was playing really
was he?
Well.
See, that's so
yes,
funny you say that, D-Mac, because I so badly wanted them to spend time on Michael Jordan with the Wizards because I honestly can hardly remember that era of his career.
He did not like he was with the Bulls, but compared to just a regular NBA player, spectacular.
Okay.
But that being said, on the Broncos, who's got that sort of killer instinct? Vaughn does not. He's not like that. He's not wired like that.
Well, he certainly had. Well, I don't know about that, D-Mac. He certainly had that killer instinct. How many when it was third and long and the game was on the line? How many times have we seen Von Miller just come up with a strip sack that you knew he was going to get? He absolutely had that mindset. He probably still has that mindset. But you know, does he have the physical capabilities of going out there to back it up anymore? No, probably not.
I think the only guy I've ever seen on the Broncos with that kind of killer instinct is Peyton Manning.
Ever. Wow.
Ever.
What about TD? What about John Elway?
Nope. Those guys were laid back.
What about Steve Atwater?
Too nice. Too laid back with
it. Oh, hold on. I mean, and now we're talking about being too nice. Steve Atwater might be the nicest human being on planet Earth, and he
My opinion.
On the field? That dude wasn't nice on the field.
My opinion, man. Peyton was like that. I mean, I have stories I saw for myself of him ripping dudes during walkthroughs. I mean, it was leaving notes in Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas's lockers about leading the league in drops.
No way. Hold on. Tell me that story. I don't know that story.
He would go around and post, where everybody was in the league in drops, and he would put the piece of paper in Decker and Demaryius's locker. Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Changing people's cell phones, iPhones to Chinese. Languages and the people.
Well, that's just funny being a prankster. What's
I
that have
get
to do with
it,
anything?
But I mean, you know, it's stories like that. You know, did you hear about the prank he pulled at one of his passing camps where he sent a bill for everybody like for $1,400?
I do remember that one.
You know, it's stuff like that. Giving a rundown of the media's injury list right in front of all the reporters, like kind of ripping the report. I just never saw anybody during my time here that had that sort of, like, that mentality. He was it. Elway didn't have that. If you talk to the guys that played with Elway, he was pretty laid back. And think about the guys that were on that team. I mean, you had some intense dudes. Maybe Shannon Sharp was like that.
I think you have to qualify this a little bit because, you know, I actually disagree with you, D-Mac. I think Von Miller is the only guy in town that could even remotely be in this category because you have to show up when everything is on the line at the moments that you know if he doesn't make that play, we will not win the games, and it has to happen in the playoffs.
Von last year? Really?
No, I'm not saying last year. I'm just saying that has ever had it in their career. That's all I'm saying.
Let's just talk about guys that have it now.
I don't think anybody on the Broncos has it right now.
Kareem Jackson.
No. I mean, you got to be in a different type of echelon as Kareem's a fantastic player, but, you know, he's not the best of the best of the best.
Okay.
Like Nolan Arenado, man. I mean, unfortunately,
you don't think he's got it?
Man, if we're talking about showing up in the playoffs when everything's on the line.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, Does Nolan have the killer instinct like Jordan? Golly, that is a good question.
We don't have anybody in town. It's not Nikola Jokic. He doesn't have it.
You know who had it for the Rockies was Todd Helton. Todd Helton was like that.
Yeah.
He was really hard. He was hard on himself. He was hard on others. You know what? You're right. Nolan doesn't have it. Nolan's not like that. He's not like that. Charlie Blackman's not like that.
Peyton Manning is the only player that I played with over the course of my career that had it. I couldn't tell you a single. You know what? Marshawn was in that category.
No kidding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he expected that much out of guys.
The only thing that was, I don't know if, okay, good point. Good point, because I was just going to say the only thing that I don't know if you could qualify him as, he didn't have that type of work ethic in practice,
well,
you know?
Forget it, because the thing with Jordan is it never stopped. It did not stop at any point. It was relentless. Peyton Manning, as far as I could tell, was relentless. It did not stop.
I think Terrell Davis fits in that category.
Okay, but that's going back. You know, I'm just
thinking about now.
Hockey, I think the closest guy the Avs have would be Nathan MacKinnon. Other than that, I think Ryan O'Reilly had it. I mean, I know I'm going back. I think Patrick Waugh had it. I think Joe Sakic had it kind of in a quiet way. I think Adam Foote had it. I think there were on that team, that's what made that team special. I think there were actually quite a few guys that kind of had it.
Patrick Waugh might be the greatest example we have of them all.
He was intense, man. Didn't want to lose. And in terms of the Nuggets, oh, man.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I know you want to do it. There's no way that Nikola Jokic fits in that category. There's no chance, D-Mac.
Nikola Jokic is the Joey of NBA players. Does Jokic have the killer instinct?
Poor Joey. We've just been fat-shaping him all day.
Because he would never... The story about him like losing weight during the season, I mean, give me a break. The big story about Michael Jordan in the docuseries was he wasn't a weightlifter in his first couple years, and then he just dedicated himself to it. Like, there was no slipping back for Jordan. Everything with Jordan was moving forward and improving, and Jokic clearly has gone through moments where he wasn't in the shape that he could have been in.
Someone on the text line said Jamal Murray, huh? What? Jamal Murray?
The Blue Arrow?
The Blue Arrow? What kind of nickname is that, by the way?
I don't know, man. Does Jamal Murray lift the games of all the people that are around him?
Well, at times he does. Yeah, sure, at times he does. But, you know, there's far too many games that go in between that you're like, man, where is this guy?
Yeah, I think, like,
That's the problem with Nikola Jokic as well, by the way.
I think on the Nuggets, like, Carmelo definitely didn't have it, unfortunately, even though I love Carmelo. If you want to talk, I like Chauncey Billups may have had it. Allen Iverson
Chauncey probably had it. Yeah, Chauncey probably had it.
Chauncey was...
Well, no, AI wouldn't fit in that category because we're talking about overall work ethic, right?
Well, we are talking about practice.
No, not a game.
Practice. It's a good one, man. That's a good question. You know, those guys, Tyler, did you have it? Tyler, did you have it?
No. I mean, not like that. I wish. I didn't have the capability of being that talented. You know, I was trying to fight for my life every game. I was just praying to survive.
Can I give you a guy that I actually do?
You know what my whole goal my entire career was? Let's just be average. Just be okay. Don't be the problem.
I actually do think Tebow had it, but he just wasn't good enough of a player for to. But that guy wanted to win.
He certainly had the work ethic.
You can't
take that away from him.
And you can't.
I mean, I've never seen anybody throw more missed balls at a field goal post. But
yep.
he was willing to keep throwing until he hit it.
Yep. Don Quixote at the windmills, no doubt about it. All right. Well, it's a great question, man, and you can read more about it at 1043thefan.com. When we come back. Well, Lloyd Cushenberry, we dig into him. We hear from Nikki Javala. More from you on Hot Take Tuesday. That's all next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe. including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, Tyler. I really enjoyed today's homework assignment in terms of the college stuff. You know, man, college football at the top level is so exciting, and it's really fun to actually go back and watch a big college game when we've studied so many of the guys through the draft process, and now we know where they are as pros. So you're just more aware of kind of everything. And this was the LSU Alabama matchup, which was a barn burner, of course, right?
No like, doubt.
Just back and forth and back and forth and right down to the end. And watching Lloyd Cushenberry, listen, I'm hardly a center or an offensive line expert, but I didn't see this guy make one mistake in this game. I mean, I saw a dude flatten other dudes, get unbelievable protection for Joe Burrow. They ran plays right over his butt, left and right, and he was in the gun 100%. Actually, wait, maybe not 100%, because they took a kneel.
It was darn near.
They took a kneel down, and I think that was the only time, like two kneel downs, that he, you know, that Burrow was under center the entire game. But I was impressed. I mean, I don't know how else I should be impressed by, you know, centers, but I didn't see the guy make any mistakes. Did you?
Well, ironically, D-Mac, I had watched this game when we did our breakdown on Lloyd Cushenberry.
Yeah.
Was that pre-draft or post-draft? I can't remember. We did one post. On him. Was it post-draft?
Oh, it might have been pre-too. I mean, we were talking about Cushenberry quite a bit.
Whatever it was, we've already done a review on him, and this was one of these specific games that I had watched. So watching it again was great. It affirmed everything I already knew. The guy is just phenomenal in pass protection. He just does not get beat. He's solid as a rock. He doesn't give up the bull rush. You know, he didn't get tested very much as far as the speed goes, as far as the chop rips or any sort of spin moves. But you get him up against a bigger body at the nose tackle position, 99% of the time, those guys are just going to bull rush you. They don't have a ton of moves in their repertoire because they're just so big. I love that. That's what I feel great about. We've had issues year after year in pass protection, not so much at the center position, but, you know, just offensively, we've had a hard time holding up in the passing game. In the run game, D-Mac, he leaves some to be desired. He's not super explosive, doesn't roll his hips. You know, if you really want to watch an offensive lineman, I can give you two or three things to watch for, like, immediately, and you'll get a relatively good grade on him. In the run game, the first thing you want to look for is the hip roll. You know, is his ass pointing up or is he rolled that thing through upon contact? So I think he's big, he's solid, he's an anchor, he's going to be a good player for this team. He's a day one starter. I've got my concerns in the running game as far as getting to the second level, and specifically in a Pat Shurmur offense, as many times as we're going to throw the screen game, right, I've got a little bit of concern on how he's going to handle it out in space.
I saw one time, only once in this entire game, that he had to get outside, and if we want to compare it to Pat Elflein, who was the center in 2017 for the Vikings, he definitely did not have that, but it was only one play. I guess the big question is how much of this offense is Pat Shurmur going to replicate? I mean, how
much which offense? What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. That's where I'm struggling. Like, how many screens are we going to be seeing here? I'll agree with you. That may be a little bit of an issue, I guess.
Well, I don't want to say it's an issue. We just didn't see a lot of it, so I haven't really seen him out in space. I've got my concerns just based off athleticism. He just looks like such a big, bulky guy. He looks like he's going to be great in the phone booth. And when he gets to the second level in the running game, there's times where he's really trailing his linebacker and he can't catch up to him. So that's what I use to kind of replicate the screen game a little bit, just to try to imagine what it'll be like out in space. I don't think that's like, look, man, you don't draft an offensive lineman for his ability in the screen game. You draft him for what he can do in the running game, what he can do in pass protection. So this is very down low on the priority list.
Okay. You know what's funny, too, to me, just watching this, is college football itself. Like, just how different college football is from the NFL, man. From the hash marks to the approach that they take to the to just what you can get away with in college football that you can't in the NFL, man. It's fun. It's fun to watch. But when you really watch this game next to a bunch of NFL games, you can see where guys have issues, man. You can see where you can get away with stuff in this college game, and you just cannot do that in the NFL. So, well,
yeah, a radically different game. It all starts with the hash marks, D-Mac.
I mean, that's crazy.
When you can spread the field out like that, what an advantage nuts. That gives you offensively.
It makes me wonder why the NFL actually doesn't. Actually, I don't even know the reason why they don't. They have different hash marks, and I really don't know why the NFL keeps the hash marks as narrow as they do.
Because there's plenty of points as it is. I think it makes the game more competitive to have the hash marks and tighter. You know, it's not like we're struggling to put up points in the league. We're getting towards every single game nowadays. We're getting 35, 32 type of games. I don't prefer to see the college game in the NFL where we're getting like 55 to 45.
Okay. Do you think that would happen pretty quickly if that was
the case? For sure it would. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The advantages you get on the offensive side of the ball when you can spread the field, it's tremendous.
Who does that? So at the next level, at the NFL level, who does that impact the most?
Who do you think that impacts? I don't really understand the question. I mean, it affects the overall offense. It affects your play calling. It affects the way you can spread out the DBs. It certainly forces the defense into more nickel situations.
Let me ask it this way. Who like excels in the college game, and once they come to the NFL game, maybe position, really has the hardest time adjusting because of it, or doesn't look as great in the NFL as they did in college because of that?
Offensive line would be the position that gets impacted the most. Those guys, they're playing out of a 2-point stance the entire game, and on top of that, not every team is like Texas Tech, where they used to have their offensive linemen spread out about 4 or 5 yards in between each other. But they are very spread out in the college game compared to the NFL. If you look at the splits of any NFL team, you're going to see about a 2-foot split. And most of the time, it's going to get tighter and tighter because the offensive linemen, they're trying to cheat the system. They're trying to get a little bit of an advantage going whatever direction they're going. And quite frankly, they're trying to shorten up the space between themselves and a more athletic player, right? In the college game, you get these guys 4 or 5 yards out there, and heck, they could barely even get to the quarterback in time.
It's fun. See, I saw Judy drop 2 touchdown passes. And
yep.
he caught one, but he dropped 2. Tua looks fantastic. And then I'm watching, you know, there's other guys on Alabama, receivers, we're not even talking about because they're underclassmen, who are...
Well, see, you went above and beyond, D-Mac. I'm going to nominate you for the above and beyond award. I just watched strictly what I had to watch today, and that was watching LSU offense.
I just was like, you know, I was getting into it. Like, what can I say? And... then there are just guys that leapt off the page. It was fun, man. It was fun.
I'm more of like a meet the threshold kind of guy.
All right, well, listen. Part of the reason I did want to bring this up again is because you've had some other things going on with Zach Bye.
Oh, my gosh, it has taken up at least 4.5 hours of my time over the last 3 or 4 days, and it's taken over everything. Unbelievable, D-Mac, but goodness gracious, am I glad to have it over, because that guy is a nitwit. He is an absolute nitwit.
Who, Zach?
Zach Bye, yes.
Why is Zach a nitwit?
You know what happened today after my rant yesterday, D-Mac? Yesterday, everybody that didn't hear my rant, maybe you should go back and check out the podcast, because it was pretty good. Today, after all of the excuses, after all of the problems that he's had, 3 or 4 days of this nonstop BS, just malarkey, my son's calling him a liar left and right. You know what happens today? Oh, my internet went out. Oh, I got to get Xfinity out here to get my internet fixed. So that 10 o'clock game, now to his credit, he did, I actually kind of believe him, because he did drive into the office there so that he could play the game from the office.
Oh, wow.
But unbelievable that he would allege that his internet has gone out at this point in time.
What advantage would that give him?
Oh, no advantage other than the fact that he just had excuse after excuse after excuse. He was trying to get out of this game.
That's what you think he was trying to do?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, 100%. There's no chance you could convince me that Zach Bye is that dumb that he doesn't know how to turn on an Xbox. I mean, he's pretty dumb. He is pretty dumb, but he's not that dumb.
We don't want to give away the results necessarily, right? Well,
this is going to be hard to not give away the results, D-Mac.
Well, we don't want to give them away, do we? I mean,
I don't know. I kind of just want to talk about it. I mean, this was like an epic event.
Well, when is this airing? When is this going to be up for public consumption?
Oh, see, those are details that I don't involve myself in. I was just told I had to play a Madden game, so I played the Madden game.
Yeah, well, the point wasn't just to play a Madden game. It was something that we're going to see
on the
website.
Well, they're
going
to stream it. Yeah, they're going to stream it.
All right, so you're not sure where it's going to be or when it's going to be on, but we'll know eventually.
Oh, and I forgot. On top of that, he finally gets into the facility or into the office there, and he turns the game on. We get it rocking and rolling. We got the stream rolling. We get the game on. He gets the opening kick. I win the coin toss. I'm receiving the ball. I'm taking the ball like a man, you know, because
nice.
I want to go put my foot on his throat.
Right.
He kicks the ball off. He kicks it out of bounds. And then all of a sudden, he calls timeout and he says, "Hey, we got to start over. I didn't mean to do that." Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then on top of that, D-Mac, so now we haven't even played a game yet. We are on his third team.
He's
tried three different teams over the course of this before we ever played the game.
Yeah.
Ever played the game.
Yeah.
The first team he chose was Kansas City. Then that one went sideways because of technology. Then he chose the 49ers. Then he chose the Saints. And then he kicks the first kickoff out of bounds. So then he quits the game. And then he changes his team to the 49ers after that. Like what is going on here with this guy?
Wow. Can you imagine if Peyton in 48 was like, hey.
No,
hey,
didn't mean to do that. That's my fault.
We did not mean to snap the ball over my head for a safety. Can we start this again?
Nope, that's my bad. My bad. It was an accident, guys. I hit the wrong button.
Yeah, I don't know how to. I didn't know how to. So one more time. Right?
You know me, like the generous competitor that I am.
Uh-huh.
I allowed him to start the game over because he's being such a baby about everything.
Oh, man, I love it. Golly, man. I'm so happy I'm not.
Can we talk about it a little bit? Just a little bit, what happened in the game. A little bit.
You tell me, man.
Okay.
I don't know. Is that going to spoil it?
Yeah, no, well, no. I already heard him talking about it on his show, so I might as well talk about it. He didn't give away the finale, so I'll talk about everything that he talked about.
Okay.
So now the matchup after his third attempt here is Ravens versus the 49ers, okay?
All right.
I get the ball again. I win the coin toss again. I get the ball. Very first play of the game, I go with the boot out. You know, I'm thinking as an offensive lineman, he's going to think I'm running the ball. Let's take advantage of this. Let's get a little bit aggressive. First play of the game, I take it naked to the left. I toss a 50-yard INT on the very first play of the game.
Dude.
So I'm like, oh, man, not going well. We're playing 4-minute quarters, D-Mac, okay? Yeah, that's right. This is a bad, bad start. So he comes out, and he just marches straight down the field. And I think it was probably about a 12-play drive, and he ran the ball 10 out of 12 plays just right down my throat, marches up and down the field. I can't stop him to save my life.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, I'm down 7-0 before I blinked an eye. So he gets the ball. That drive, it takes up the entire quarter. So I got one play offensively in the first quarter, and I tossed an INT with it. So now we go into the second quarter. He marches down the field again, gets a three-point field goal. He's up 10-0, okay?
Okay.
There's 23 seconds on the clock. I get the ball with Lamar Jackson. I scramble around. And I got to admit, that dude is kind of like a cheat code in this game. So I scramble around. I get the edge. I take off for about 65 yards. I get 3 points before halftime, which is an absolute miracle.
Are we just going to give away the entire game here?
Nope. We're going to give it away until the very end. We're going to give it all away until the very end because that's what he did. Okay.
All right.
So we get to halftime and it's 10-3. Okay. Zach Bye gets the ball to start the second half. He's feeling his oats a little bit because he's been running the ball down my throat.
Uh-huh.
And I get him to fourth and four from his own 35-yard line. What do you think this big dumb dumb does? Seriously, what do you think this big dumb dumb does? Fourth and four from his own 35. He goes for it.
Wow.
He doesn't go with the fake punt. He doesn't go with anything.
He just goes for it.
I mean, okay. An absolute idiot. So, you know what? I stuffed him like I should.
Nice.
I got the ball there. I got that ball there. I'm 35. I took it in for a touchdown. All of a sudden, we got a 10-10 ball game, right?
Sounds good. Sounds exciting.
We got a 10-10 ball game. Now, I'm going to leave it there. But let's just say Mojo is going well in the Columbus household at this point.
Man, I can tell.
Are you kidding me? He goes for it on 4th and 4 from his own 35? My 8-year-old knows not to do that.
Bill Belichick did that one time. Didn't turn out great. I guess Zach doesn't really, you know, trust his offense very much. Or doesn't trust his team. He doesn't trust somebody. Or he's dumb.
He's just dumb, D-Mac. He was just dumb. He was absolutely killing me. All he had to do was punt the ball and play it safe.
All right, well, at some point, you can see how this turned out. All right, now I'm curious. We got a tie game, so, it'll be out there at 1043thefan.com. And that's just the semifinals.
It's 10-10 going into the fourth quarter, all right?
Right. And who else is in this turn? Cecil and who?
Cecil and Drotar.
Zach
and I, neither one of us had played the game ever. I mean, and I had played it probably 6 or 7 years ago, but right. We didn't own the game. We had to go get it. This was the matchup that we had to win. And on top of that, D-Mac, I'll just tell you this. I am feeling a lot of pressure at this point. When he's up 10-0 on me, he skunked me in basketball. I just tell you what, I'm starting to shake at this point because I really, really need to win this game.
All right. We look forward to seeing who won between you and Zach, and we'll hash it all out. Let's revisit with Nikki, who was on with us a little bit earlier, because she had some interesting conversations with governors and mayors and all sorts of stuff in terms of where Colorado stands. And then also she's got to get her dog on a diet, apparently, from earlier, Nikki. You talked to a couple politicians today. What'd you learn?
Yeah, I talked to Governor Polis yesterday and Mayor Michael Hancock of Denver today. And both seem pretty eager to get sports back under the right conditions, of course. So I think they're just kind of waiting for baseball to reach an agreement to restart their season and then see how they do and then welcome the NFL. So things are kind of moving in the right direction for both leagues, it seems, although, you know, the baseball players in the league seem kind of far apart on the agreement, but, you know, they got to get games going again.
How strong is that momentum? How close are we?
Baseball, I'm not so sure. I think it comes down to the salary, right? That's what I've been hearing just reading from some of our baseball reporters. Football, I mean, they have more time. They've only just established protocols and started to reopen facilities today, really. And the Broncos will slowly phase things in. Starting next week, they're going to allow some employees to work from their training facility in their stadium, but you know, for 90% of their staff, really, they're still going to be remote. Players still aren't allowed back in. Coaches still aren't allowed back in. So kind of wait and see right now with them.
Yeah, but it's okay, though, if you go to a private prep school and have a virtual practice. In fact, you should be doing that, as we learned, right? Because that's what Tom Brady has done and others. So I find it interesting, Nikki, that, yeah, there's certain rules that you're not supposed to do, right?
Technically,
but
correct.
Don't you think after the whole world watches Tom Brady practice with his entire offense, there's going to be a certain amount of pressure?
Well, they're already doing it. What was Drew Locke doing previously, Nikki? We just had the reports of him doing similar things, right?
He's been throwing with some of his receivers. I was told it was responsible. It's not like the whole offense. But, you know, if he's in Douglas County, some of this is fair game, which, you know, he did buy a house out here in March. So they have been throwing some, and I think it's been under, you know, the 10-person limit, and they're wearing gloves, the receivers. So, but I, you know, from what I told you, he's actually really trying to organize and kind of take that leadership role as a quarterback. It's such a huge year for him and the offense as a whole. So yeah, they've thrown some at public parks. You got to remember, like, the facility's closed. They can't use that big, beautiful indoor facility that is just sitting there, and they can't go to, you know, high schools because
they're
campuses
closed,
are closed, so
theoretically,
yeah, it's going to be like Peyton and Stokely, you know, playing catch while he's on his free agent tour. You might see Drew Lock. So,
well, there's a big empty field literally across the street from the facility there.
Yeah.
I mean, and Tom Brady got, you know, the equivalent of valor to open up for him.
Well, it's Tampa Bay down there. You kind of,
well,
that's
right.
Kind of expected.
I'm just asking. Why not just open up the facilities then? If this is going on already, and this is usually a time that you'd bring people in, why not just do this?
PR and lawsuits.
Oh, all right.
Guys get sick. It's on their watch, and it's on their facility. They don't want to be responsible.
Okay, let me ask this question a different way. Do you think there'll be more pressure from coaches who are meeting with these guys virtually to go on out there and get going, guys, until you're legally allowed to come back into our facility?
No, because you got to remember, this is OTAs. This is all voluntary anyway this time.
Yeah, and on top of that, they don't need to say that. That pressure is there.
No.
That pressure is understood.
These guys know. What I don't understand about the policies is I feel like coaches should be allowed back in the building. You know, this is the time where they really need, you know, to be able to access all their stuff. And, you know, someone raised a good point. What about those coaches who have double titles, like, you know, coach GM, like Bill Belichick? You know, executives are allowed in, but coaches are not. So he could technically get in, right?
Right.
I mean, to me, I don't like that gray area. Just let coaches in.
You can still hit
the 75 total, right? But you could. I still think this is an important time for coaches.
Nikki, the proposal to have a reward incentives for the hiring of minority candidates, that has been shot down by the NFL. What do you know? Why was it shot down?
It's been tabled, according to Roger Goodell.
Okay.
They've enhanced the Rooney Rule, so you have to interview more minority candidates and female candidates for executive roles, which I think is good. It's all positive. I was vehemently against the rewarding teams for doing the right thing, bribing them to hire minorities. I think that's an embarrassment. And I just think it's so degrading on so many levels. So I'm glad, and it was a long shot to pass, thankfully. But, you know, this is a problem in the NFL. It's a problem in many leagues, actually, but more so in the NFL just in terms of their staff. I mean, there aren't many minority owners, women owners in all leagues, but the NFL, it's more pronounced because you don't have a diverse coaching staff across the board. I mean, there are, what, 4 minority head coaches right now, 2 minority GMs, and that's a real problem, especially you look at the rosters, they're mostly made up of minorities. I just think it's, to be representative of these teams, you have to have a more diverse coaching staff. That's the biggest question. They just got to hire more minorities. And it's not that these guys are not qualified. That's the thing. Everybody says, oh, just hire the person who's most qualified. Well, a lot of these guys are very, very qualified, and they deserve an opportunity to at least be interviewed, at least be considered.
All right, then what's wrong with something that's an incentive that would be a tiebreaker?
You shouldn't have to be bribed or compensated to do the right thing. To me, that's awful.
It's not a good setup. Like, that's just not a good setup.
Yeah, and anybody who gets hired through that route, people will always say, oh, you were only hired because they wanted to move up like 6 draft slots in the 3rd round. Like, that's just wrong.
We are very concerned about your dog, Joey, based on the report from the vet calling your dog fat. And
Can you believe that? Well, he's self-conscious now. He's literally lying down.
What do you feed your dog?
He's on weight loss food, too.
would you like to? Now, you put this out there.
He is not fat.
You put this out there on Twitter. I didn't discover this. You put it out there.
No.
So what did the vet tell you about your dog, Joey, we love?
They said you should be able to feel his ribs. I don't want to feel the dog's ribs. That's gross. No. He's gonna be a big boned dog, you know?
You also don't want him to be fat, though, Nikki, you know?
He's not fat. He's very normal and very happy and may get a few too many treats, but whatever.
All right, so we wish the best for Joey. Got to get Joey in shape there, Tyler.
Poor Joey.
our guy Kevin Kistner and Richie do such a wonderful job. We thank them. We thank you so much for listening. I think sports is coming back really, really soon. Really, really soon. And we're here to talk all about it. The Drive. Tomorrow at 3, we'll be back with you on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 104.3thefan.com.